Welcome to the Evolved Empath Summit, a free online event where you'll learn from top experts how to turn your empathic gifts into your greatest strength. Share this powerful program with your friends and family, and come join us on Facebook at The Shift Network. And now your host, Bevan Nieman.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome back to our summit presentation. We are so pleased to connect you with a familiar face today and a familiar voice. We are talking today with Jean Hayner, who is a Hay House author, and her most recent book is Clear Home, Clear Heart: Learn to Clear the Energy of People and Places. Because of her personal experience with both the challenges and strengths of being an empath, she is a compassionate and effective teacher, giving you meaningful tools you can put to immediate use in your life. I think this is going to be an amazing topic. Welcome, Jean, to the second annual summit.
Hi, thank you so much. I'm excited to be here.
And we are talking about a topic that literally is of extreme interest to every empath: how to change your energy and take charge of your life. Can you tell us a little bit more about what you've learned about that in your own personal journey as an empath?
Yes. Well, I always say I was born wide open energetically, that I'm definitely at the extreme end of being an empath, as I'm sure a lot of people listening are. There's kind of a range with sensitivity in terms of being an empath and different types of sensitivity as well. I basically have all of them, thank goodness. And so that can often be very challenging. And when I was a child, I didn't understand what was happening. I was so wide open energetically, I was a little sponge. I would be affected by all the energy around me. I could walk into an empty room where an argument had happened 2 weeks ago, and the imprint of that argument in the room, I would feel it. It would make me feel unwell. So I was constantly challenged by this, not thinking there was just something wrong with me, not understanding what this was about. I was sick my entire childhood, because I was just soaking in and taking on too much energy and my system couldn't manage it. It actually wasn't until my 20s when I married into a Chinese family, and my mother-in-law, very traditional Chinese woman from China, started to teach me about things like Chinese medicine and feng shui. Mm-hmm. And that was a revelation to me, because I suddenly realized, oh my gosh, maybe there is invisible energy held in places or lingering around people. And so that started my journey with feng shui, and I found that I was doing feng shui in very weird ways. I would walk through the house and just kind of hold my hand up, because I can feel energy physically. I could feel it very exquisitely in the palm of my hand. I would just walk through the house and I could tell where the energy was stuck, if it felt sludgy or cobwebby, or if a difficult emotion had been experienced in certain places. I could feel it hanging there invisibly, almost like invisible house dust. So this was fascinating for me, but I really didn't have any education. There wasn't any training, no one to explain what was going on. And so what was happening in my feng shui consultations, and this was long before feng shui became known in this country and kind of trendy, back in the 80s even, what I found was that I was taking on the energy of these people's homes, that because I was opening to the energy in a different way than just visiting the home, I was taking on even more than I used to. So I would go home and they would be very happy with the feng shui consultation and feel better. And I would go home and just feel terrible. And this came to a head the day that I had two clients. One was an expectant mother and one was a midwife. They were both feng shui clients of mine. And when they found out she was pregnant, they called me and they said, hey, when she goes into labor, could we call you and you can energetically support the birth in the most easy way possible? And I was so honored. I said, sure. Well, I had no idea what I should do. I maybe send love and light. I don't know. And this was when she just found out she was pregnant. So months went by. I hardly gave it a second thought. And several months later, I was at home one evening about 7:30 at night, just doubled over in excruciating pain. I had no idea what was going on. Something was obviously wrong with my reproductive system. And for 3 hours, just intense pain, till I was literally putting my coat on to drive myself to the emergency room, because obviously something was very wrong. And in that moment, the pain stopped. And I thought, wow. So I'm relieved. I went to bed. I got up the next morning and the phone rang and it was the midwife. This was in the day before cell phones. And she said that the mother had gone into labor late the day before and things had very quickly gone wrong. And she said, we were both in that hospital room just calling out your name.
Wow.
You know, the agreement had been made months before and energetically my system got their message and it did the only thing it knew how to do, which was to soak up energy. In other words, to take on some of her pain. The reason my pain stopped at 10:30 at night was when that was when her epidural kicked in and she didn't feel any more pain. So that taught me a big lesson that I either had to stop doing this entirely because I had no idea what I was doing, or I had to get educated. I had to get training in how to manage my boundaries and not take on energy because this was not the right way to do it. It's not, you know, a way to help people is not to take their pain. A way to help people is to help clear their pain, but certainly not to take it on and feel it yourself. So I embarked on a years-long journey of studying energy clearing and healing traditions from cultures all over the world and some very intensive and demanding trainings. And what I experienced in the trainings, some of which were very complicated. You would have to spend hours, for instance, if you were clearing the energy of someone's home, you would have to bring suitcases full of stuff and do all these things and jump through hoops and do all these things to clear the energy. But I was finding that it wasn't so much the things that cleared the energy. In fact, the rules were that you had to do this hour-long procedure and then the energy would clear. But because I can feel energy, I started feeling it clear before I was done. And then I started feeling it clear just as I pushed the doorbell to the house to do the energy clearing in the house. And then I felt the energy clear as I was on the phone with the client about to make an appointment. And that's the point at which I was like, oh my gosh, they're going to call me back tomorrow and tell me everything's fine and they don't need me after all. So I realized that it wasn't the stuff that I was doing, the things, the actions I was taking in energy clearing. It was the fact that my system had changed. My system had been trained to notice, to become conscious of stressed energy and immediately clear it. So it wasn't the things I did in the space. It was the fact that I entered the space and because of my training, I was able to clear stuck energy, stressed energy, anything negative that was there. And that evolved into also clearing people's energy. But the hugest benefit here was I'm able to clear myself. So as an empath, as I walk through the world, I can experience any kind of energy. I can walk into a room where there was an argument and not be challenged because I can experience it in a different way. I have different energetic boundaries. I can shift the energy from being stressed to coming into balance so it no longer stresses me or anybody else, whether it's in a place or hanging around a person. Does that make sense?
It does. And you know, I want to kind of move into this one piece that you talked about, which is, you know, you had these extreme messages that were in your body or, you know, your illnesses. And I think there are listeners out there who will totally resonate with that. You know, I would say you're an extremely sensitive person, a very deeply connected empath. And there's got to be people in our audience who are in that place as well. And then there's, like you said, there's different ways that empaths connect with that. So what if some of those messages are a little more subtle? How did you learn how to pay attention to when those things are coming up? And, you know, maybe we like go, oh, I just have the flu or, you know, something else is going on. And how do you realize that this is what's happening?
You're very right. So often people misinterpret. They think something's wrong with them when they're feeling some energy that's coming from another person, that they're standing talking to a person and all of a sudden they're just kind of not feeling very well and thinking, oh gosh, maybe it's what I had for lunch or maybe I'm coming down with something. When in fact, often what happens is they're tuned into that person's energy just unknowingly. We all do it all the time anyhow. We connect with other people's energy. And maybe they're sensing that that person is coming down with a cold that has nothing to do with them. But the thing is, if we believe that feeling, oh my gosh, I'm coming down with a cold, we can convince ourselves to start feeling unwell. We can even convince ourselves to get sick. It's such a liberating experience to be able to understand what feeling is yours and what feeling is not yours. And in fact, one easy way to start to recognize this is just to practice how your own energy moves when you have a certain emotion or a certain feeling. You know, all of my work is based on Chinese medicine, and it's thousands of years old. They've had thousands of years of research of the very subtle ways that the energy not only moves in our bodies, but how the energy and our emotions affect us as well. And so sometimes an emotion somebody else is having, we start feeling, and it changes the movement of the qi in our body. So what I'd like to offer is, why don't I lead people through just kind of a guided visualization of two different ways that different feelings, different emotions can make the qi change, the energy move in our body in certain ways. Would that be okay?
That would be wonderful.
Okay. So what I would ask everybody listening to do is just to follow along and just kind of either practice or just even imagine what your energy does as I describe it. So let's take a very common emotion that everybody feels, the emotion of fear. Everybody feels fear at certain times in life. And what Chinese medicine says is that when you become afraid, your qi drops in your body, your energy goes down in your body. When we're scared, our energy immediately plunges downward. Interestingly enough, this is the reason people pee when they get frightened. Everything goes down. So it also causes the energy to drop from your brain. And so when you're scared, your mind freezes. You know, you can't think when you're terrified. So as you tune in, just feel your energy just for a moment, because it's not a good feeling, but just for a moment, just imagine your energy just plunging downward when you're afraid. Now, in a minute or two, I'm going to talk about a beneficial way to move that, but let's move through the ways that different emotions challenge us to make our qi move in certain ways. Another common emotion is anger. And when we feel our anger, our qi pushes upward. You know, our face flushes when we're angry. The qi moves up into our face. The qi rises upward in our body. It creates a tension in your body that needs an outlet. You know, when we're angry at someone, they found that we literally move toward them. We surge forward without even knowing that we're doing it. We don't pull away from them. We move toward them. That's that push that just happens unconsciously in our systems. Another emotion has to do with kind of a freak out or a panicked moment. And when you feel like panic, your qi scatters. Picture fireworks, you know, pew, your qi goes all over the place. So for instance, if you get some shocking news, maybe somebody you care about has been in an accident, or you suddenly find out, oh my God, the project you thought was due next week is due tomorrow. It's that kind of feeling, like, and there's a flare up of emotions. Your emotions go all over the place. Sometimes people feel faint if they go too much. They can get a panic attack, or their attention scatters. They can't think straight. Your heart starts beating too fast, or your breathing speeds up. You know, there can also be a very subtle form of this that is overstimulation from all our devices and all the energy of all our technology around us that we use, which makes our lives easier. I mean, cell phones and computers, wireless connections and things like that. But some highly sensitive people, their system can have the qi because they're overstimulated by all the electromagnetic fields and things like that around them. So this is also important to pay attention to. Two more emotions here, and then we'll talk about all the good ways that you can use these movements. So another emotion that people often get stuck in is worrying. You know, the thoughts go around and around in your head. And in Chinese medicine, when you get caught up in all that rumination, they say your qi gets stuck. Your energy starts to feel thick and heavy, like you're stuck in the mud. You know, your thoughts fill up your brain until it just kind of coagulates. It's almost like clutter filling your house. Cluttered thoughts fill your brain. And just like clutter means you can't move freely through your house, clutter in your thoughts slow down things in your brain and create stagnation. It can be hard to think clearly or make good decisions. It's just kind of a heavy, thick, stuck feeling. And the final challenging emotion could be called anxiety. And this is when your chi just disappears. In other words, you're overwhelmed. It's all too much. You can almost feel like you're not even in your body anymore, or you're only half in your body, or like you have no boundaries and you're just feeling all the energy all around you. So these are challenging movements of chi, challenging emotions that we go through just as we go through the day. But here's the thing, there's a whole other side to this. There are ways that we can direct these same movements of chi that will affect us in positive ways. So let me walk you through what those are. When we look at fear, the healthy opposite of fear is courage. That's when you reach deep down inside of yourself to summon your courage, your willpower, your deep inner strength to make it through a fearful experience. So if you're suddenly afraid and your chi goes down, you can take advantage of that by sending it a little deeper to access your powerful courage. You take a deep breath and you send your chi deeper until you feel that place of strength and wisdom and power and courage. There's a healthy opposite of anger. The healthy opposite of anger is called drive. You know, when we trace anger back to its heart, we see it's really just a desire to change something, to break up something that's wrong and make it right. And the emotion of anger, the movement of anger can be used in positive ways. Remember, anger is that surge upwards? Well, you can imagine it like a booster rocket to kind of get you going, to give you liftoff, to help you take action, to kind of surge forward, or kind of like a warrior galloping forward, you know? It moves you forward, it surges you forward to go in the direction you need to go. It can be wonderful in breaking through any place you feel stuck. Sometimes anger transforms into depression. You know, even Western psychology talks about depression as anger turned inward, attacking the self. And so what we can do then with that feeling is channel it outward. You can literally just try to do that, visualizing, pushing the chi out, surging it out, or you can do it with physical exercise, or even talking about what's bothering you. In other words, you send your chi out instead of inward. The healthy opposite of panic could be called positive excitement or joy. You know, often when we're panicked about something, we're nervous about something, we can realize, oh, wait, this is the same feeling as excitement. You know, you can transform the kind of freak out into fireworks, like, woohoo, this could be fun. Wow, this is really exciting. Or if it's complete panic overload, an alternative is to picture the fire, only instead of fireworks, picture fire in a fireplace, slowly calming down, getting smaller, kind of settling into glowing embers. Just a peaceful, warm feeling calms you down. The healthy opposite of worry is feeling centered. So you center yourself. You recognize how your thoughts are spinning and winding in on themselves, and you bring your energy down from your head into your abdomen. And you let it kind of settle and center there. And then you let some of it stay there, but you send some of it further down, down through your legs, even into your feet, and then down through the soles of your feet into the ground beneath you, down through the floor and into the earth. You send your chi deep into the soil and feel yourself kind of firmly rooted there, nice and secure and solid. And that centers your system. The thoughts calm down. They're not spinning so much. The worries ease. And lastly, the healthy opposite of anxiety, interestingly enough, is a sense of spaciousness, a feeling of spaciousness. And what you do with your chi in that case is to just consciously and gently let your energy rise up as high as you want to, even to the sky. You just take a nice breath and slowly feel your chi gently rise as if you were going up in a hot air balloon and kind of getting a larger and wider view. of the countryside, so to speak. You let your chi rise to a place where you feel comfortable. You don't just shoot it up very high, especially if you're starting to get lightheaded or like, whoa, this is too much. Just settle down to a place that's still above where you were before, but that's comfortable for you. Just enough so you feel like you have a big picture view. You can see far off into the distance and you feel lighter in a good way, a sense of spaciousness. This helps calm your system because unconsciously, it gives you an awareness that in the big picture, what you're currently so anxious about is really such a minor thing. You know, a year from now, you won't even remember what you're so anxious about right now and making such a big deal about. And so you take a nice deep breath. So these are just some examples of ways that we can consciously become aware of what's happening with the chi in our body in terms of how it's reacting to our emotion in the moment, and then change it, shift it, transform it, redirect to a healthier version that has positive effects on us instead of stressing our system. Does that make sense?
What I love about this, Jean, and how you've worked with the chi is that it's already moving in a certain direction. So if we tried to reverse it, bring it back, you know, we're going to meet resistance probably. But you just said, okay, let's take it just a little bit farther and let's transform and transmute that into something more uplifting and positive for us. So that was a beautiful exercise. I was closing my eyes and sensing into different parts of where I may be holding some of those emotions. And yeah, I could just feel how much better it is to flow with what's happening rather than trying to reverse it.
And that's exactly it. You know, Chinese medicine defines health as adaptability. In other words, it's the ability to adjust to changing circumstances. And so if we can go with the flow rather than trying to fight against it or force a change, then we're in a healthy movement. And so you're absolutely right. We're going with it, but as we're doing that, we're shifting it and transforming it. We're adapting it in a way that's healthy for us.
So we've talked a little bit about, you know, how you can recognize some of these signs and messages when things are when you're being affected by energy that's outside of yourself, and really how to transform some of these emotions. And one of the things you touched upon in the beginning was being able to walk in a space or being around a certain group of people and noticing things that not only happened recently, but just residual energy as well. What are some tips and ideas that you could give to our listeners today about what to do in those moments, maybe where, you know, it's hard to get away from other people yeah. and do these, you know, go within and.
Yes. Oh, you're so right. And, you know, it can be very hard for empaths to function in the world. We are far more challenged than other people who have really thick boundaries or lesser sensitivity or awareness. And the thing is, it seems logical what most empaths try to do, which is to shut it down. You know, I don't want to feel so much, make it stop. What can I do to protect myself or shut it down and not feel as much? And this actually takes them in the wrong direction. That the more you try to limit your life or avoid certain places or certain people, you make your life smaller and you're not helping your sensitivity at all. You're actually making it worse. It seems counterintuitive, but the solution actually is to learn how to turn toward the feeling, to be more consciously present with the feeling, because then you're no longer in reaction to it. You're no longer afraid of it or trying to avoid it. It's like, oh no, God, I don't want to feel that. This is the wrong, we can shift our reaction. So when you take charge, it's in that place that you can learn to manage the feeling. And you're also developing your ability to recognize that moment when you're about to be affected by some external energy. Because normally, empaths especially, but everybody does this, we all unknowingly take on the energy around us. We're little sponges, we soak it up, and then we wonder why we're so exhausted at the end of the day when we didn't work very hard. Well, were you surrounded by stressed people at work? You probably carried some of their stress home in your energy field. So rather than unknowingly take it on, you can develop the ability to realize instantly, like, whoa, wait a minute, I'm feeling, this is a feeling and it's not my feeling because I wasn't feeling this until I entered this room. or I wasn't feeling this before I started talking with this person. Just that awareness alone keeps you from being affected by it. It's almost like that energy is just about to latch on, and then all of a sudden it realizes, oh, she doesn't have any receptor cells for me. I better go look for somebody else. It won't stick. And okay, this all sounds well and good, but how do you do that? I recommend a really fun, easy kind of daily practice. And there's many ways that you can do this. One thing that you can do is before you leave the house for the day, just take a moment while you're still home and take a scan. Take a body scan of how you're feeling physically right now. Is there any place where there's tension or pain, discomfort in the stomach, anything going on? How do you feel physically right now? You're taking a baseline reading of how you feel while you're still home and feeling safe in your own home. And then scan how you're feeling emotionally right now. What's going on with your feelings right now? Baseline of your feelings. And then you leave the house and go to the office or wherever you're going to go. And after you've arrived, after you've been there maybe 10 or 15 minutes, or for some really sensitive people, you walk in the door, you'll immediately know. But take a second scan. How am I feeling physically right now? Wow, I'm more tense than I was before I left the house. I'm breathing really shallowly. I'm feeling the start of a headache. Well, wait a minute, you weren't feeling that before you walked into this place. Maybe it's how you always tend to feel at work. Or maybe it's the energy held in that office or even in that building that's affecting you. And just that awareness alone can prevent you from being so affected by it. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, even when you're out in the world, before you walk into a room or as you walk into a room, how are you feeling as you enter that room? What subtle shifts and changes are happening in your feelings? Well, that has to do with the energy of the room. Or as you speak to someone in conversation, what's going on for you? Just take a little scan. Huh, wow, whoosh. I'm suddenly feeling a little dizzy or a little depressed or something like that. Well, it's probably the energy of the person that you're sensing. It's not yours. This is just information about their energy or the room's energy. Mm-hmm. This not only hones your energy sensing skills, but it really can start to transform your experience as an empath and allow you to just feel whatever is there to feel with not taking it on and not going into reaction to it.
Mm-hmm. And not feeling responsible for it, right? I think that's one of the things that empaths really struggle with. It's like, I don't want to feel someone else being sad or upset and I'm trying to fix it.
You're right. I mean, many empaths have a very strongly humanitarian nature, and it will be extremely difficult for them to see any living being suffering, whether it's a person, an animal, or a plant, anything. And they can have a very strong reaction that doesn't help fix the situation and just puts them into stress. And then this kind of leads me to the next level of work, because after you learn how to start to recognize that maybe this isn't my feeling, when you learn energy clearing, you can help someone who's suffering. You can clear that stress, pain, or tension that's suffering from their energy field. And then you do have a way out, not only for yourself, but for other people.
Mm-hmm. But as you're saying, that takes some a little more training and a little more understanding of how to hold that balance and how not to take on all that stuff, you know, because you're entering into a really deep interconnection of the energy fields there.
Exactly. And the fact is that, and even Western science has proven this, that we all kind of synchronize with the energy around us without knowing that we're doing it. The scientific term is entrainment, not entrainment. And we just kind of come into a coherent vibration with the person we're talking to or sitting next to. It's just part of being human. In Chinese medicine, they teach that every energy is interconnected and interrelating. We're all connected, of course, in consciousness and energetically. And so when you can become aware of this and you can consciously entrain with someone else's suffering, you don't take it on, you actually can help clear it. You can reach just through very simple training, you can just kind of connect with their energy, which you're already doing 24/7 anyhow, but in a conscious way. And it's almost like an energetic massage. You know, if somebody massages a knot out of your back, well, energetically, there's little knots in our energy fields all over, little pains and stress and tension, often from years past that we're still carrying around. But when you can learn very simple techniques to just release and bring balance back to the energy, then you have a way to relieve suffering. And I think this is why clearing is such a revelation for so many people who are empaths, because it actually gives them a tool to help other people and not to get lost to the suffering.
Yes, yes. And I would love for you to let everyone who's listening today know how they can continue to connect with your work. I know this is just the tip of the iceberg of everything that you've learned and you teach. What is the best way for them to be in touch with you after the summit?
Oh, I would love for people to come visit me on my website, which is just my name, jeanehaner.com. You can contact me there with questions on the contact page. But if you visit the events page also, there are two opportunities this year to learn energy clearing. So check that out. It's very easy to learn. Everybody can do it, but it will change your life because it not only teaches you how to clear energy, it really transforms your experience as an empath. And in fact, there are thousands of people all over the world who've learned this technique. And there's a private Facebook group where anytime, if you're feeling stressed or overwhelmed as an empath or in any other way, or if someone in your life is in trouble, you can post a request there for a clearing for them. And there will always be somebody awake to do a clearing for them, always somebody awake in some time zone. Mm-hmm. So please contact me through my website, jeanehaner.com.
Wonderful, wonderful. And, you know, just as a wrap up to our conversation today, you know, we've really been talking about how empaths can transform extreme sensitivity from a challenge to a power, to a gift. What would be some final thoughts or suggestions or advice that you would give?
Yes, wonderful. So here's the thing. Trust and honor your feelings. They're giving you information. You know, in our Western culture, we're often taught to kind of suppress our feelings, not want to feel them, or to not trust them because what do they mean? You know, we're also conditioned to be left-brained that we have a feeling and it's like, well, I don't know what that means. That's not logical. I shouldn't trust that. But that can squeeze the intuitive channels shut and make them atrophy. And then you don't have access to such a rich resource of information. But as well to trust your feelings as a guide for you. You know, if you're starting to feel tired, we're all conditioned to push through, get things done, make more money, do some work. And that's not always the right thing to do. We need to honor rest and downtime to let our chi replenish and let the reservoir refill, so to speak. So staying more in touch with your feelings is the direction to go for so many reasons and to let them guide you. But the final step here is, yes, be conscious of your feelings, but don't start to build a story on them. In other words, you tune in and maybe you feel a little strange or a little unwell. Well, it's too easy then to start to build a story about, oh no, I'm getting sick, or oh no, I shouldn't do this. But wait a minute, it's just a feeling. Sink into that, allow that. Just understand, welcome it as it's just a feeling. It's just some information. And maybe see if any more comes intuitively if you relax into that place. But don't then create some fearful story based on that or think that something's wrong. We're all feeling things all the time. And as we open to that, trust that, honor that, welcome that, we have a much richer life with much more ease and grace as things just unfold.
Mm-hmm. And thank you personally, Jean, just for all the work you've done, bringing your own personal experiences, how you took a deep dive as a result of your own challenges, and then are bringing this out into the world. And this is one of the big themes we're having from a lot of our speakers this year, which is how do we really take those things that have been the struggle or the challenge in our life, and then use those to help serve and to benefit our communities and humanity as a whole. So thank you for role modeling that, for being just your authentic self and coming out and being a part of this wonderful event.
Well, and huge gratitude, not only from me, but I know from everyone listening to the Shift Network, for making this more accessible for people. My gosh, what a beautiful home for people to come to and take a deep dive and learn more and empower themselves in this way. So a huge and deep bow to you and to the SHIFT Network for making this available.
Mm-hmm. And thank you to everyone who tuned in today. We hope that you take this wonderful teaching, this invitation to be more conscious of the messages that are showing up for you, the scanning, the shifting of your emotions into a more positive form, and really apply that in your life. We look forward to connecting to you on other wonderful interviews that we have on this event.
Thank you for joining the Evolved Empath Summit, brought to you by the SHIFT Network. To learn more, visit evolvedempathsummit.com. To learn more about our global programs, to support you in waking up in all the areas of your life and taking inspired action, visit theshiftnetwork.com. Thank you again for joining us and for sharing this empowering path of embracing your empathic gifts with your friends and family.